good day to you, wherever you're listening to this, the Rugby Pass podcast, as we head into week two of the June Test Series. Don't forget South Africa, New Zealand and Australia all in action against Ireland, Wales and England respectively. And it's the England-Australia Test Series that has really captured the imagination, given the fact that now England will take a 1-0 lead into a deciding, potentially deciding test match in Melbourne this weekend. Sean Maloney out of Fox Sport Australia, host of the brand new show The Other Rugby Show, joins us now live from Sydney. Sean Maloney, firstly, extraordinary scenes last night on your maiden show when an apology was made to England coach and fellow Australian Eddie Jones.
Look, I think this may be a first in Australian TV, Sumo. Forced to apologise before getting the first episode to air. It all blew up last week, as has been well reported across the world, particularly throughout the UK. Some terrific headlines going up in print over there, matching up. A good friend of yours and mine, Stephen Hoyle, was with his former coach, Eddie Jones. Things went awry, is the best way of saying it, in the press conference. And we apologised. We threw the hand up and said, yeah, we got that one wrong.
So obviously what I can glean from this information, Sean, is that the England camp was not impressed with the interviewing style of Stephen Hoyles, possibly, and this I know you probably can't confirm nor deny this, possibly requested an apology from Fox. The apology, of course, has been forthcoming, but where do you guys sit now with how you approach the England media, how you approach the England team, given the fact that at the same time, their own player, Joe Marler, has now come under investigation for calling your former coach, Bob Dwyer, a man who likes to touch himself?
Is that how you're going to use that word, mate? I'm in Australian parlance, the term wanker is widely used. You know, it's no drama to throw that about.
Sure.
And that's what Joe did in Bobby Dwyer's direction. He took offence at what Bob had suggested around England scrummaging. And let's just leave it for the moment, because coming into this series, and I'm going to tell you why. Because coming into this series, obviously, as an Aussie, you hope that your side's going to win. And I wasn't, you know, it's a June series, and I wasn't too perturbed. What's the word I'm looking for?
Perturbed
around the result. As long as we get good rugby through June, obviously, we've all got our eye on the first letters, though. I wasn't too fussed. But now, Sumo, I hope our Wallabies go berserk this weekend against English. Berserk. And I hope they repeat the dose next week in Sydney.
Okay, look, Melbourne is the venue. What is the feeling like around Melbourne at the moment? Is there a build-up to this test, given the fact, as always, rugby has gone into the heartland of the AFL, which is in full swing at the moment, State of Origin building up for Origin 2 in the Rugby League. Where does this test match sit now in the landscape of Australian sport?
The good news is, the great news, in fact, is the fact that this game is going to be played at Amy Park. The first time we've seen a full rugby international played at Amy Park. And it's a hell of a stadium, Sumo, I've got to tell you. I've been down there a number of times covering Melbourne Rebels games. You get a crowd of around 10 in there, sounds like there's 20. This weekend, there's going to be 30. You do the maths. Going to sound like there's 150, 180,000 people in that stadium. It is going to be epic. And all this hype, all this palaver that continues to bubble away, for the first time in a long time, Sumo, you know, the rugby is punching hard in terms of media coverage over here, and it's a great thing. There is a great vibe and a great build-up to this test match in Melbourne.
Okay, let's talk about Eddie Jones just one more time, because is he now got to be considered the greatest PR man in the history of Australian rugby, or does he have to be considered as the greatest coach Australian rugby's ever produced?
I would suggest that Michael Checker is a better PR man. I would still suggest that. And what was the second question? I blacked out after the first.
We'll leave it at that. Give us a tip for the weekend. What are we going to see from the Wallabies? Where do they have to improve if they want to make sure they can level the series?
I tell you what they've got to improve on. They've got to improve on the crispness of their passing. There was a little bit of rust that crept in after that. It was a blitzkrieg early on, you know. It was a blitzkrieg in those first 20-odd minutes. Obviously, Bernard Foley's goal-kicking's got to get a little bit better. They were unable to force too many pilfers, which was a bit of an issue. So Sean McMahon goes in. You know, I tell you what, if you want to wind a bloke up and let him loose, none do it better than Sean McMahon. That guy's engine is enormous. And you know what? He's an angry dude, Sumo. Mm. He's one of the angrier footballers you'll see, and I expect him to go absolutely nuts this weekend.
Well, the great news is around Sean McMahon, and we've watched him now since he was playing under-20s, went up to the Commonwealth Games, played sevens for Australia, back into the full test team, and he's at his home stadium. That's where he plays his footy with the Rebels. He's been the standout player for the Rebels all year too. Sean McMahon, is he a difference maker in your opinion, Shawnee? Can he really be the guy who gets the Wallabies up?
Not him alone, certainly not him alone. The changes in the front row as well. Scott Seo slips out, so they get short up through the front row. Hopefully that negates any of those dramas. But I will say this, Sumo. What I do worry for in terms of this guy, I don't worry for it, but I think it may have an impact is, and you've seen this through the Super Rugby coverage this year, is the ground down there. Now, they're saying that Amy Park, the turf there, will hold up to the rigours of test match rugby scrummaging, because we've seen it get shredded through Super Rugby at scrum time. I'm not so sure. When you have those enormous humans just hammering into each other, I think it might fall apart. And what happens if the grass falls apart, Sumo? Then what do we do?
Yeah, beach rugby. Could be the first beach test.
Oh, wouldn't that be good?
Just play
Wouldn't
on
that
sand.
Be great?
Just play on sand.
Barefoot. Just play barefoot on the sand.
So
I like it.
The headlines are already written, aren't they? If Australia wins, Eddie Jones will come straight out and be knocking the turf and finding every excuse under the sun. Look, I'm really looking forward to this test match, Shawnee, but we better move on. And we are going to move on to South Africa. Dusted by the Irish, who were at one stage playing with 13 men. No CJ Stunder this week. Mornay Steyn called back in. What are we going back to 1999? Are we going to be playing Prince songs all weekend? Is this a big step back for South African rugby, bringing Mornay Steyn back?
Do you know what I would like to have seen to accompany Mornay Steyn's return to the test fold? Pete de Villiers to take an assistant coaching role this weekend against Ireland.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be something?
You may as well go and get Naas Bouter.
He could probably still slot them too.
Yeah, could.
They are a side, aren't they? The Bocker for the moment, who struggled to
creative.
Creative. Yeah. And I think you made a great point last week on the on this year your podcast that Alistair Cotsier has a history of grinding teams. You know, not a particularly attacking orientated coach. I don't know how that has changed since his days with the Stormers.
Well, I mean, what it says to me, I mean, two out of three of the Northern Hemisphere teams, that's the major nations, so we're not including the Georgias and Italy's and the rest in this podcast today, but, you know, two or three teams managed to win their first tests. So the series is on the line for South Africa and Australia this weekend. I think if South Africa do not get a win, that country might self-destruct.
Just implode?
Just go.
Wow, that's something to consider. You're thinking like a District 9 scenario, like a Neil Blomkamp film.
It might be a Neil Blomkamp film. Yeah, it may well be. Meanwhile, back across here, Shawnee, we don't have any issues that you blokes have because the All Blacks are hot to trot once more. Chiefs on Tuesday night, absolutely dusting the Welsh. I mean, that was horrible to watch if you're a Welshman. And now they've got to go and play a test match in Wellington. We know conditions are variable at the Cake Tin in Wellington City. And one change to that All Blacks side with Julian Sevilla slipping out and Ben Smith, the world's best fullback, going in on the right wing.
Can I just say how not how disappointing, but oh, how we love to watch certain Ovi, this side of the water. We like to watch certain New Zealanders get around at super and test level. Julian Surveyor fits right into that mold from an Aussie perspective, and it's disappointing that he's not going to be fronting up this weekend. I understand the change, but we love the bus.
Yeah,
happened to the bus? Just needs a bit of a tune-up. Is that the problem?
I think that's exactly right, mate. He's in the workshop. He just needs maybe the spark plug's changed. Maybe just check the head, fill it with oil, and he'll be back out again. But don't you think it's good coaching? You've got this guy, and you say, well, you're a strike weapon. We know you can score tries. We know when you're at your best, you're really good. But you're not at your best right now. And we have the luxury, and I'm speaking on behalf of the All Blacks here, we have the luxury, they're saying to us, that we can put someone else in that spot and not weaken the team. There are very few teams who could take someone like Julian Savier out and still claim not to be weakened at all.
And you're throwing a World Cup winner in there. You're throwing formerly one of the best players on the planet back into the mix. So it is a hell of a luxury. And just quickly, Sumo, I just want to go back. When you mentioned Ben Smith, I want to highlight Ben Smith Mark II, one of the highlight performances from last week, Australia versus England. I didn't get a chance to mention it earlier. On debut, Dane Haylett-Petty.
Yeah, he was great. Right?
Rock solid and very similar. And I think in years to come, as his game continues to develop, very similar to Ben Smith in a way. He carries the ball around contact, always breaks the first tackle. Rock solid under the high ball, positionally very, very sharp as well. But old swivel hips. We used to call them swivel hips back in the day. You know what I'm saying? You're going in there and then boom, they're swiveled through the line. Very similar. And hopefully, we call him DHP. Hopefully DHP can kick on the same way. What do you call him again? Remind me, the accountant? Ben the accountant?
Ben from accounts?
Ben Smith.
Ben from accounts. That's right. Now, Sean, we're going to finish up here. We're going to finish up as I clear my throat and you sort your Skype out. We're going to finish up with a general question around the June tours.
Yep.
New Zealand Rugby, and through their CEO, Steve Chu, and discussions with Bill Beaumont, the chairman of the International Rugby Board, the IRB, World Rugby, whatever we're calling it now, John Spencer, also part of that discussion, next year's Lions Tour manager, Augustin Pichot out of Argentina, also involved in this. And this is the concept around a global rugby season. Now, I realise mm-hmm. that England and Ireland have got wins first up in the Test Series, but these teams continually come to the Southern Hemisphere after playing 40-odd weeks of club and international rugby. They are drained.
Yes.
What can we do to make sure that when these teams meet, and they meet on a regular basis, they're meeting on as even terms as possible when we consider how much rugby's already under the belt?
Well, it's the straight flip side, isn't it, when New Zealand goes to the Northern Hemisphere for their, what they call their spring tours, and the Wallabies and the Boca do the same. You know what, I was watching with great fascination some of the English Rugby League, this Super League, just yesterday. I was watching Warrington go around. So they play through the summer, and it seemed right for them. So do you know what I'm thinking? Maybe they could sort of shift it more in that direction so we can all be on the same page, because there hasn't been, and there aren't too many sides that get the imagination up and get the heart racing, like England coming down this way, even Ireland as well. Aussies love taking on the Irish. To have them at full strength is so much better, and not, like you say, flagging, because the last couple of years, you know, Wallabies have had France who've been out, Wales, you know, not travelling particularly well through June. So it's, mate, I'm on board with you. What, maybe some summertime rugby in the north?
That'd be nice, but ultimately the clubs in the north have the final say, don't they, especially the French and the English, so hopefully World Rugby can resolve that and we can go back to enjoying our June series. Shaunie Maloney out of Fox Sports Australia and The Other Rugby Show, thanks for being part of the Rugby Pass podcast today, mate, and enjoy Melbourne.
Oh, it's going to just be an absolute ripper.
Good on you, son. Say hi to Eddie.
Buddy.
Say hi to
All
Eddie.
Good. Yeah, no, yep. I'll pass on your regards if we happen to bump into each other. I'm sure Hoyles will do likewise for you.
Good on you, Sean. That's the Rugby Pass podcast for this week. As we head into the second of the June series test matches, South Africa taking on Ireland, New Zealand taking on Wales, and Australia hosting England in Melbourne. All of those games live on Rugby Pass. If you're not already subscribed, get there today. Rugbypass.com. All the tests and much, much more.